Welcome to Prairie Society. And we'll start with our sharing section with joys and concerns.
Well, if you haven't seen the play that Allie Otis said, and you play called Barefoot in the Park, and I never saw it before, and it's just delightful. It's really fun. And it's not next week, but a couple of weeks from now, I'll have it again.
Any other joys or sorrows?
I have one little joy sits right next to me, as usual. I have a joy. Since I was out of town for my birthday, my family is humoring me today. You'll notice they all came. The second part of humoring me is that after we're done here at noon, we're going over to play laser tag. Which is over near Kmart. And if anybody is interested in playing laser tag, cost $6.15. I think it's more fun the more people you know. I'll explain it later if you want. You kind of run around and get people with lights and sounds like fun.
An Easter thing.
It's an Easter thing.
The Sand Hill Cranes are audible down Cherokee Marsh. They're calling.
A sorrow, an old and original charter member of Prairie Dive Tribe in Avis Parish.
Anybody on this side, or is this the side on the afternoon? All right, we'll move on to prairie announcements. Any important announcements?
Is there a memorial service for Avis?
All I know is a little squib in Friday and Saturday's paper.
Maybe there'll be more today.
No, there wasn't.
Today.
It said the arrangements were pending with Chris Home on. I know today's newsletter deadline.
Another chance for you to sign up and pitch in with the Prairie Partners. It's a spruce up that does our shell and maybe we can send it next to Saturday night potluck going from 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock and barbecue promised after that. So grubbies are probably clear older clothes. So bring the family. Head over to Allie Drive with us next Saturday.
Is this all outdoor or indoor and outdoor?
Of course, depending on the weather. There's painting to be done if we get rain down, but this is outdoor activities. Just people coming out the neighborhood and seeing each other and working together. So sign a piece right here. And outside of that, we have an extra $500 on your way out. We're flipping over, and better yet, toward effective campaign finance reform here in the state of Wisconsin. The little brochure here in the Wisconsin democracy campaign. Hope that you get more.
Well, I'm missing my list of other announcements.
Cooperative,
you know, like with a member of a cooperative.
See her afterwards.
Yeah. And then I'll pass around the offering. And turn it over to
Galita.
Okay. Our fund is a family value.
Well, the service today is going to be about treasuring the old and welcoming the new, and that can be people, old new people, the prairie, for a long time, and the prairie people have a role. And it could be old and new ideas, and it could also be old and new seasons. And I like winter, but I asked, I think she's still our new member, Nikki Bromberg, to light the chalice today.
Mm-hmm.
That's my bad sign.
Everybody think good thoughts.
Yes, John.
These are the words of Sarah Bernhardt. Life begets life, energy creates energy. It is by spending oneself that one becomes rich.
There will be some activities around this circle, so keep in mind that the chalices they're only still jumping off. Okay. We're going to start with a song that many of you already know. And everybody stand up, just take one seat. Grab hands, just like up like this. Those of you in the back, you're welcome to stay in that third line unless you want to extend the second circle, whatever you'd like to do. Okay. And we're going to, first of all, if you know the song, just start singing. If you don't know it, learn it on your feet. And if you know it is around, then make it into a round if you like. I'm not going to teach it. So just get your hands going to the right first. Right and left and right and left. Don't reach way right, it's right and left and right. Make new friends and keep the old. One is silver and the other is gold. Make new friends and keep the old. One is silver and the other is gold. Make new friends and keep the old. One is silver and the other is silver and the other. For those of you who don't know the word extended, I'm going to show you. Let's say this is your family that you live with, right here. Or maybe the family you grew up with. It's your closest family. Maybe they're related, maybe they aren't. But they are your family. Okay. These are maybe your closest friends that aren't really your family. And then you've got people who maybe are aunts and uncles and cousins and prairie people and groups that you belong to. Then even just people who live far away. And but you like them a lot, but you just don't see them very often. And so all of a sudden, this family that was kind of not very big got bigger, didn't it? That's your extended family. And I've just turned this into not what it's marketed as, but a wand. Sorry, I just killed Bob with my wand.
Oh, I thought he got three wishes.
did everybody get a piece of paper when he came in the door? I hope we had enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, who didn't get a piece of paper?
No.
Raise your hand if you did not get a piece of paper.
You got three, you didn't get a six piece.
No, you just need a little piece. Yeah. Oh, she just has some programs. If you didn't get a program, grab one from somebody else. There's lots of them around here. Don't share a program with them now. Thank you. Okay, anyone else who didn't get a piece of paper? Over here, Mary Mullen. All right, while she's handing them out, I'm going to tell you about this game, and I have Reed Miller to thank for this game, although I kind of messed around with it a little bit. So blame him.
If you enjoy the game, I'll take credit.
It's not his name's Joe. your place in that family. Now, as soon as I wave this magic wand, you're going to go around the room, watch out, don't step on the child, and find your family. Now, if you are number one, stay in your chair, except for you people in the back room, because I like to use the center chairs. So if you're number one, happen to be in the back room, up here and find your seat. But if you're number one, stay in your chair. If you're number two, as soon as you find your family, you sit on that number one's lap. We're going to pile up 1, 2, 3. Now, some families may need to kind of prop up the family with another chair in the middle somewhere. Try as much as you can to sit on each other's lap. Okay, now this is something, if you can't move around and would rather just stay in your place, then let your family members come to you. If you can hold someone on your lap, then just sit right next to your family quiet. So here, I want everybody to participate. And once you find your family, kind of quiet now, so I can see what to do. Well, so or maybe I'll have to yell.
How do we find our family members?
Okay, you're gonna walk around and look for somebody else who has the same family, whether you're a frog or a turtle or a rabbit family, and then you make your pile in a little circle.
Can we make the sound of our family?
That's a good idea. While you're walking around, you make the sound of your family. Once you get you ready? Go!
Sparrows?
Okay, muskrats.
Within your family, as soon as I wave my wand, you'll do it again. Within your family, I want you to just take a partner and then stand up and hold your partner's hand. Okay? And then get quiet right away. You've got something else to do. You're done. If you don't have a partner, come on in. Those of you who are just joining, just come on in and grab a partner. If you're new, come on in and join us. Okay, now, we're going to be walking around during this game, and again, remember that we've got a light candle here, which maybe wasn't a good idea, but I like it.
You want it in the middle now?
Nope, I want it right here. Okay, what we're going to do very quickly, and I want to start right now as I talk. Susan, Orange, and Dean are going to pass out blindfolds. There's a whole bunch of stars. To one person, now listen up, please, to one person in each pair. And whoever gets a blindfold, blindfolds the other person in the pair. If we run out of blindfolds, you'll just have to close your eyes. Yes, I could. Okay, so as soon as you get a blindfold with your pair, start going out. Get them out just as fast as you can. Go for it. You don't take it. No. Afterwards, you just make look for a little bit so nobody knows where it is. You just quietly come back and sit down and take off your blindfold. Everybody participate if you can. And walk down to the camp. Are you ready?
Who is here?
I'm
Watch out, you come to some steps.
Okay, and then there's another one. You know what's happening now? It's about to go back down the steps. So take small steps. Can you feel the edge of the steps? Feel it? There you go. Feel it out. And one more. And there you are at the edge. All right. There you go.
Stew is a stew, he mixed things up in a stew. too, so we're going to miss out some people. And it goes like this. You need to stay seated for this. You may, I'm going to show two different ways of doing it. One that's a little rowdy, one that isn't quite so rowdy. And you're going to look across at someone and say, I know, but you know me, and I know you. So that's the first part of it. Let's just do that before you're sitting, okay?
Put your hand on these first.
You mean we have to find the same person?
You don't know, you don't have to name anybody. Just look at somebody and go, you know me, and look at someone else and go, I know you. Okay, here we go.
You know me, and I know you.
Oh, your man laughed real well. And the next thing you do is go, oompa, oompa, awesome soup. Now let's just try the words. Okay, don't do it yet. Okay, here we go.
You know me and I know you. Oompa, oompa, possum soup.
Now, if you don't want to do the oompas, you would just go oompa, oompa, possum stew, which is a lot easier on folks that can't fall into the Okay, let's push the chair back over here, everybody.
Thank you.
meeting, and you're going to have to not make a lot of noise because you want to be able to hear each other within the circle. The first person who has the egg, is, and don't do it yet, they're going to throw it to somebody gently so they can catch it, and that person is going, and as you throw it, you're going to say, I throw it to, and name the name of the person. If you don't know, ask first. That person says, once you get the egg, you say, I receive it from so-and-so, and I throw it to somebody. Huh?
If we prefer, instead of throw, may we toss the egg?
If you'd rather toss it. Since it's called an egg toss. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. You got the instructions. I receive it from and I toss it to.
I didn't need that.
Okay, go.
Cooperative.
Aaron Rachel. For all the little kids of heart to come and sit and you'll help me move this. Why don't we move you up here? Let's move it back a little. Okay. As you all know, this is Easter, and a lot of people are celebrating Easter as a religious service. I think you know that Jesus had an extended family called disciples that traveled with him when he taught, and that Christians believe that after he died, that he reappeared to his extended family. That was not unusual. At that time, there were a lot of stories about people reappearing after they died, and so it was not unusual for people to believe that. There's a lot of different beliefs about what happens to people, and I happen to think that people live on in my memory, and this day will live on in my memory. My father is in my memory, and every time I see a cardinal, or this time of year, every time I see a robin, it comes up really close. I think of my father, and that's how he was on with me. And I've asked for Rachel Long to tell just a little bit about her family's beliefs, and
Lutheran story, but first, I want to gather all the children apart around the nation. And I think my storybook, which was under a chair, is one there. Okay, gather around. Big kids, little kids, everybody. And if you'd rather just sit just a little bit on this side, you can hear this from me. Yeah, we may need a forklift to get the rest of us off the floor. Well, for many people, Easter is a representation simultaneously of life and death. And we've just been doing nothing but life for the first half of the service. Now we're going to do a little bit of death. I thought it was great that when I picked out my animal, I was a husky. And we had a husky, I guess it's been a year and a half ago now. And we only had him for 6 months, and then he died by a big surprise to us. He was a young, healthy dog, and it just turned out he had cancer and died. And we talked a whole lot about death that summer. That was the first time we had a chance to talk about death with our kids. And I mean, I'm glad it was just our dog. When we talk about death in our family, we talk about what literally happens to someone, something, an animal that dies. And what we said about our husky, whose name was Max, is that Max became part of the ground after he died, and plants grew on him, and he became part of the grass, and maybe a cow ate the grass, and he became part of the cow, and maybe we ate the cow, and maybe he was part of us. And we see the physical part of death as just coming back into part of the whole world of which we came. Many people see that death also includes somehow a death of your spirit or of your soul, and what happens to that soul. And, you know, there's a lot of different meanings for how people conceive of that spirit that enlivens you or that brings a sense of self and a sense of life. And I conceive of it as just like, you know, a raindrop that falls from a cloud that was once a cloud, that's now a raindrop, that becomes part of a river that goes into the ocean, that maybe gets drunk by an animal and becomes the animal. It's still there. It flows through everything. And that's how we think about death in our family. And this story that Dolita picked out for me really does a good job of describing how I think about death.
This is my son's favorite story. That's why that book is so worn out.
And you can kind of see. Now, I can't tell you who wrote this story because it doesn't tell me here. It tells me who drew the pictures, and they were drawn by Kelsey and Bill Justice. And then, I mean, there's somebody who told the story this way. This is the story of Grandpa Bunny. And I'm going to try to show you some of the pictures because they're pretty fun. This is Grandpa Bunny and his little bunny family here. And I'll show this other picture when we get a little farther. Deep in the woods where the briar bushes grow lies Bunnyville, a busy little bunny rabbit town. And in the very center of that busy little town stands a cottage, a neat twig cottage, with a neat brown roof which is known to all as the very own home of Great Grandpa Bunny Bunny. And this is the cottage. I don't know how far you can see back there. Great Grandpa Bunny Bunny, as every bunny knows, was the ancestral founder of the town. That means he was like the very first guy, which is a very fine thing to be. He liked to tell the young bunnies who always gathered around how he and Mrs. Bunny Bunny, when they were very young, had found that very briar patch and built themselves that very same twig house. It was a very happy life they lived there, deep in the woods, bringing up their bunny family in that little house of twig. And of course, Daddy Bunny Bunny, as he was called then, was busy at his job decorating Easter eggs.
children grew up, they helped paint the Easter eggs. And soon the children were all grown with families of their own, and they built a ring of houses all around their parents' home. By and by, they had a town there, and they called it Bunnyville. Now, Grandpa Bunny Bunny had lots of help painting Easter eggs, so much help that he began to look around for other jobs to do. He taught some of the young folks to paint flowers in the woods. They tried out some new shades of green on mosses. They made those woods so beautiful that people who went walking there marveled at the wonderful colors. The soil must be especially rich, they said, or the rainfall especially wet. And the bunnies would hear them and silently laugh, for they all knew it was part of their Grandpa Bunny Bunny's doing. Years went by. Now there were still more families in Bunnyville, and Grandpa Bunny Bunny had grown to be great Grandpa Bunny Bunny, for that is how things go. He still supervised all the Easter egg painting and the work on the flowers every spring. And you folks can see that some of these bunnies are painting the flowers. But he had so much help that between times he had to look around for other jobs to do. He taught some of the bunnies to paint the autumn leaves, purple for gum trees, yellow for elms, patterned in scarlet for the sugar maple trees. Through the woods they went with their brushes and their tails, and the people who went walking there would say among themselves, never has there been such color in these woods. The nights in these woods must have been especially frosty. And the bunnies would hear them and silently laugh, for they all knew it was their great grandpa's plan. Now they all talk about the grandpa in this story. I mean, I think the little bunnies had this plan of their own. So it went as the seasons rolled around. There were constantly more bunnies in that busy bunny belt. Now, here's this, on this side, they're painting all of the autumn leaves. And here they're doing some winter painting, too, on the other side. Great Grandpa was busy finding jobs for them to do. He taught them in the winter to draw shadows on the snow and pictures in frost on wintry window panes and to polish up the diamond light on glittering icicles. And between times, he told stories to each crop of bunny young, and the cozy around the cozy fire in his neat little suede home. I don't know how he fit them in. The bunny children loved him and his funny bunny tales, and they loved the new and different things he found for them to do. But at last, it did seem as if he'd thought of everything. He had crews of bunnies trained to paint the first tiny buds of spring. He had teams who waited beside cocoons to touch up the wings of new butterflies. Some specialized in beetles, some in creepy crawlies. They had painted up that whole wild wood until it sparkled and gleamed. And now the bunnies wondered, what would he think of next? Well, Great Grandpa stayed home a lot those days and thought and thought. At last he told a secret to that season's bunny boys and girls. Children, Great Grandpa Bunny Bunny said, I'm going to go away. I'll tell you what my next job will be if you'll promise not to stay. So the bunny children promised, and Great-Grandpa went away. The older bunnies missed him, and often they looked sad. But the bunny children only smiled and looked extremely wise, for they knew a secret that they promised not to tell. Then one day, a windy rainstorm pelted down on Bunnyville. Everyone scampered speedily home and stayed cozy and dry in the cottages. After a while, the rain slowed to single dripping drops. Then every front door opened, and out the bunny children ran. Oh, it's true, those bunnies shouted, and they did a bunny dance. Great Grandpa Bunny Bunny has been at work again. Come see what he has done. And the people walking out that day looked up in pleased surprise. Have you ever, they cried, simply ever seen a sunset so gorgeously bright? This is the sunset. The little bunnies heard them, and they chuckled silently, for they all knew it was a secret. It was all Great Grandpa Bunny Bunny's.
Thank you.
Both of you were already on the board and staying there. I mean, the fire station can help me get up. We have just the very final things to do. First of all, I think we're going to need to remove this, and I kind of hate to. I hope it's not a bad sign that we're going to remove it. Would somebody, I'll take this for just a minute. Will somebody take the flowers and put them over under a chair? Amber, would you do that? I kind of hate to get rid of those spring flowers.
Now the frogs, those look like a couple of spring frogs. Those will have to go under the chair. You want to take those and put them way under a chair. Somebody want to take a look? There, go. Way under a chair, out of the way. Waiting way back by the wall so nothing will happen to them. Okay? I'm okay to do this, but we're running out of candle. I really didn't plan it this way. I don't think it's a good sign. We're going to have to blow it out. Let's hope that this isn't a bad sign. There we go. Thank you. And now, if the people who are the sun makers would come and get a basket or share a basket.
We're
was a week of Passover Ward, and I went to a wonderful theater at the House of Jew Friends. And the Jewish people have, which is part of our heritage as well, have a celebration of freedom, a celebration of hope, and a celebration of the growing season at this time of year. So I have asked Mary Mullen to read something that the rabbi here in town, that is real, actually had in the paper this week, is something that he reads to his family to kind of say, or Mary, you want to come right on here? And we'll close our program with a reading from the Song of Songs.
Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The blossoms appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. The time of the crooning is come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.
Thank you.
Do we have the hands of those who discovered after they came here that daylight savings time had come?
We are waiting.